Welcome to the Chris Afiro podcast. I am Chris Afiro, and here we go. So today we're going to be talking about the forced use in that track meet stabbing and if it was justified as self-defense. You guys have probably seen this story. It is all over the place. And although this is not necessarily the direction I'd like to go with this podcast, it's inescapable. I turn on the computer here or my phone or whatever I'm looking at, and this thing is all over the place. And it's gotten to a place now where they're starting to go into like race relations and stuff like this. I'm just not seeing it. So honestly, I got to get it off my chest. I got to vent about it. And what better place to do it than this podcast, right? So just bear with me and stuff. I know we've talked a lot about this. We haven't talked about it, but I know you've seen a lot about this, probably nonstop, as a matter of fact. Unless it's just my algorithm. Maybe this is what my algorithm does. I don't know. Anyway, is the use of a knife at this track meet justified as self-defense? Well, the short answer is no, it is not justified. Here's why. Self-defense law in most legal systems require that force used must be reasonable and proportionate to the threat. A verbal confrontation alone, without a physical threat, like an attack or an imminent attempt to cause bodily harm, does not justify deadly force. Carrying a concealed weapon, especially a knife, at a school event would already likely violate weapons laws in many jurisdictions. Using deadly force, stabbing somebody until they die, in response to mere words or being asked to leave, is seen as extreme, disproportionate, and criminal. The person with the knife would likely be charged with murder, possibly second-degree murder or manslaughter, depending on the intent and local laws. So in short, a verbal annoyance or being asked to leave a private area does not justify using lethal force. And pulling a weapon in that situation turns the knife wielder into the aggressor, not the defender. As a person that was in the military infantry, I have a full understanding of escalation of force and rules of engagement. I also understand what it's like to feel threatened by somebody else in real time and having to decipher the use of deadly force for fear of being killed myself or badly hurt myself, right? And it's a very intense feeling. It does not feel good. There's a lot of things that go through your head in that moment. And like I said, pretty intense. Some people are into that, right? A bunch of people that joined the military for that exact reason. That's what they were looking to do. Most of them are in the infantry. Most of those guys are your special force guys. Not mad at them. They found their job. They found their spot. And they're putting it to work as they should. But you've seen the aftermath of all that, right? Most of the times, those guys are a little bit messed up in the head. So I'd offer you, before you make those decisions, probably consider that, right? I mean, simply put, if you try to kill me or threaten to do so, I will act accordingly. I'm very aware of the aftermath of that and what that does to your head or could do to your head, right? Some people are totally fine. Maybe you wouldn't have to deal with it. Most of the times it has an effect. So just be considerate of that. I also understand, as a human being, how sometimes emotions get the better of you and cloud your judgment in an intense situation or moment, which is what I think happened here. I think both kids were phenomenal athletes and probably loved by their peers. However, the reaction by the boy with the knife was seemingly an emotional one, and I think his judgment was clouded, and he acted aggressively in a situation that could have easily been de-escalated. Here's a clear explanation of how different states would view this situation under their self-defense laws, especially concerning stand your ground and duty to retreat principles. Duty to retreat states, in the majority of U.S. states, in a duty to retreat state, before using deadly force, you are legally required to try to escape or avoid the confrontation if safely possible. Verbal confrontation alone, especially without an imminent threat of violence, would absolutely not justify the use of a knife. In this case, the person with the knife would have been expected to leave the area, walk away, or seek help. Using deadly force, via stabbing, would likely lead to a murder or manslaughter charge. The defense of self-defense would fail because no reasonable fear or imminent serious bodily harm existed. In stand your ground states like Florida or Texas, in a stand your ground state, you do not have to retreat if you are lawfully in a place. And you can use deadly force if you reasonably believe you are facing an imminent threat or death or serious bodily harm. However, even in these states, words alone do not constitute a deadly threat. You must have a reasonable belief that your life was in imminent danger. In this case, being verbally asked to leave is not a lethal threat, right? Pulling a knife or stabbing somebody would still be criminal, probably resulting in a murder charge again or manslaughter. And important factors in either type of state, reasonableness standard, the law would ask, would a reasonable person in the same situation think their life was truly in danger? Imminence, the threat must be happening right now or something vague or future-oriented. Proportionality, you can't respond to a verbal disagreement with deadly force. So in summary, whether in a duty to retreat state or stand your ground state, the person who pulled the knife and stabbed somebody in this situation would almost certainly be criminally charged. Deadly force requires a real, immediate, and serious threat, not just somebody telling you to leave or arguing. You know, one of the things that sticks out to me the most here is why you would even have a knife on the school property in the first place. You know, as a person who has enjoyed weapons his entire life and probably has a weapon on me at all times, I also understand that if you're going to carry a weapon with you and that weapon's concealed, you should keep it concealed. At no point, if you're carrying weapons, should that weapon become a mechanism of power or aggression in order to get your way or determine the outcome of a situation. If you're not skilled enough to use your weapon appropriately, only when needed, then perhaps you should not have the weapon in the first place. If you're irresponsible and unable to rationalize when your weapon is needed, you may find yourself in a situation like the one we're talking about now. And here are some other examples where someone wrongfully claimed self-defense and it backfired badly. These will be case cited. I'm not going to go crazy. I don't know docket numbers and all this. But this is Curtis Reeves in Florida in 2014. The case of Curtis Reeves in Florida in 2014. What happened was Curtis... Mr. Reeves, a retired police officer, was at a movie theater in Florida. He got into a verbal argument with another man, Chad Alson, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, because Alson was texting during the previews. The argument escalated. Alson threw popcorn at Reeves. In response, Reeves pulled out a handgun and shot Alson, killing him. Reeves' defense, he claimed self-defense, saying he feared for his life after the popcorn was thrown. The legal outcome is Reeves was charged with second-degree murder and aggravated battery. He tried to invoke Florida's Stand Your Ground law. After a long trial, delayed by COVID and other issues, Reeves was ultimately acquitted in 2022. But it shocked many legal experts because most analysis agreed that throwing popcorn is not a lethal threat. Deadly force in response to minor provocation, like popcorn, was also seen as grossly disproportionate. Even though Reeves was acquitted, most similar cases especially without the emotional pull of an elderly retired officer, would not end in acquittal. Public opinion was very divided. Many saw the verdict as a miscarriage of justice or a flawed or a flaw in how to stand your ground state law. And the key lessons from this case were: claiming self-defense does not automatically make your actions legal. Deadly force must respond to a reasonable precipitation of deadly force, deadly threat, not mere anger, insults, or minor assaults. The Reeves case is an outlier. In most cases like this one, like the case we described with the knife at the track meet one, the aggressor would be convicted. Another case, this is Bernard Gouts of New York. This is New York City, 1984. What happened in this case was Gouts was riding the subway in Manhattan when four young black men approached him and allegedly asked him for $5. Gouts, who had been mugged before, claimed he thought they were going to rob him. He pulled out an unlicensed revolver and shot all four men, severely injuring them. One was permanently paralyzed. Gouts' defense, he claimed self-defense, arguing he reasonably feared for his life based on his past experience and the setting. And also note that crime in New York City was very high at the time. The legal outcome is Gouts was acquitted of attempted murder and assault. He was also only convicted of illegal gun possession and served 8 months. His case became nationally controversial, sparking debates about race, crime, self-defense, and vigilantism. Important points. Public opinion was split. Some saw him as a hero, standing up to a crime. Others saw him as a racist vigilante who overreacted violently. Later, in civil trial, one of the young men sued Gouts, years later, and won $43 million in damages. And some of the key lessons from the Gout case were: fear and perception matter in self-defense claims, but they are judged by a reasonable person's standard. Overreacting with deadly force can destroy lives, even if the criminal law gives some protection. Civil court consequences can still happen, even if somebody avoids criminal punishment. Race and media framing heavily influenced public views of what reasonable fear meant. So comparing the Gouts case to the track meet, in Gouts' case, there was at least a claim of potential robbery, even if that was disputed. And in the scenario with the high school track meet, only verbal requests were happening, meaning even lesser justification for deadly force. Thus, the knife wielder would be in even worse legal shape than Gouts was. So would a case like the knife at the track meet, could that become politicized? It's highly, highly likely, especially because it happened at a school event. So safety and violence in schools are huge political issues. It involves weapons on campus, already illegal, mostly everywhere. It involves a teenager, juvenile justice versus adult persecution debates. The media coverage would likely frame it along these lines, right? Like youth violence, failure of school security, border discussion about violence, self-defense, and youth behavior. What is the likelihood of the defendant getting away with murder? In this situation, the likelihood of getting away with it, meaning full acquittal, is extremely low, unless something very unusual happens. And here's why. No reasonable fear of imminent death, mere words asking you to leave an area, or a threat justifying deadly force, right? Bringing a concealed weapon to a school event shows premeditation or at least reckless intent. Overkill. Stabbing somebody to death over words shows clear excessive force. Public outrage factor. Because it happened at a school, a sensitive environment, there would be an enormous pressure for the prosecution to pursue full justice. Things like video evidence, you know, stuff like that. Modern track meets often have cameras and phones recording everywhere, which would make it hard to spin the facts if there were actual video evidence of things, which I don't know if there is or there isn't, but it sounds as if there might be. We're still amidst the case. So realistically, unless there was a very strong evidence that the person stabbed was about to seriously assault the knife wielder, and it doesn't sound like there was that, the defendant would almost certainly be convicted, possibly charged with first-degree murder, if premeditation can be shown, second-degree murder, if it was intentional but not pre-planned, and manslaughter, if some weird mitigating factor is found. It's unlikely here. If the defendant were from a politically charged background, for example, race, wealth, community status, the media and public reaction could amplify things hugely, but that would affect public opinion more than the core legal factors. So in short, it is very likely that this could be politicized, and it is very unlikely that this boy would get away with that, unless maybe the defense pulls off an almost unbelievable narrative switch, which would be very hard given these facts, right? Personally, if you're using a case like this to politicize anything, I truly feel like you most likely are just a piece of shit. It's just my opinion, but it's how I feel. And this particular case, to bring race into it, is irresponsible and ignorant to me. To use this case to advocate for rights of any marginalized group of people or justify murder in any degree in this country is out of place and degrades the validity of the people who have been or are unfairly treated based on their race. Right? It's like a cry wolf thing, right? Like, absolutely, I'm sure this happens from time to time, probably more than we'd like to admit, and I think it should be assessed as such. In this scenario, this is not it, you know? I'm just not seeing it personally. Maybe there's things I don't know about it. Again, cases going into it right now, so, you know, maybe that's the case, but based on what I've seen so far, all the facts that have been presented publicly, I'm just not seeing it, you know? And I think that, again, it degrades, you know, people that are in these situations and the validity for them to have some sort of justification for that. You know, that's crazy. You're just throwing things out there. That's not a good idea. Defense strategies a criminal lawyer might try to use in a case like this, even though it would be extremely difficult to win. Possible defense strategies in the knife at the track meet case. A self-defense claim, even if weak, they could argue the defendant reasonably feared imminent serious bodily harm. He might claim that the other person's tone, body language, or words seem threatening. They could try to paint the picture that it wasn't just words, but an escalated situation. An imperfect self-defense, admit the response was excessive, but they could argue the defendant honestly but unreasonably believed he was in danger. This can sometimes reduce murder to manslaughter. Right? Another argument they might add is mental health defense, claiming that defendant had mental illness, PTSD, or a psychological condition that impaired judgment. Maybe claim paranoia, anxiety, or trauma made him misinterpret a safe situation as life-threatening. Another defense is provocation defense, trying to argue the deceased somehow provoked the defendant into a heat of the moment panic. It's very hard if it was only verbal. The law usually says mere words are not enough for deadly retaliation. They could go with lack of intent, arguing it wasn't premeditated murder. Maybe the defendant only meant to scare, not kill. This could lower the charge from murder to voluntary manslaughter. They could intact the investigation, questioning police procedure, mishandling of evidence, poor interviews, chain of custody errors. They could try to create a reasonable doubt about the exact series of events. They could go with character defense, bring in witnesses to say that the defendant was peaceful, a scared kid, not a violent person, paint the stabbing as a tragic mistake from a panicked minor, not a cold-blooded murder. They could go with a sympathy play to the jury, humanizing the defendant, empathizing youth, immaturity, and being emotionally overwhelmed, and to try to tap into the jury's emotions. Something along the lines of, he's just a kid who made a terrible mistake, sort of deal. Which for me, I guess we're kind of on that line. You know, I do think it was a mistake. I do think he needs to be held accountable for his actions, right? Like, nothing that I heard in this story so far justifies him stabbing somebody to death. Again, I don't think he meant to kill this kid. I think he just fucked up real bad. And unfortunately, he's ruined a large portion of his life because of it. But I still think he should be, you know, taken to trial and charged with something. If you know, what they're saying right now is what it actually is, then, yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's a pretty crazy reaction to a very simple situation. Just walk away, you know? Or don't walk away. Maybe you fight. Maybe you're throwing fists. I don't know. But it's just a fight at that point. You're not taking out weapons, and everybody walks away. Realistically, these defenses would be uphill battles because the facts are very bad for the defendant. Deadly force after being verbally asked to leave is an extreme overreaction. And bringing a knife to a school event looks premeditated or at least reckless. In most cases like this, even very good defense lawyers would probably focus on plea bargaining, trying to get the defendant to plead guilty to manslaughter instead of risking second-degree murder at trial, pushing for a lower sentence, arguing youth, mental state, no prior criminal history. And I can see all or some of those things happening. Again, I think legally this is very uphill for these guys. I think this is pretty cut and dry. I think it was a mistake. I think the kid fucked up really bad. I can tell you, in my past, I have fucked up pretty badly before, but I have faced all the consequences of my action, right? If I'm going to do some stupid shit, I'm aware that I'm doing stupid shit, and I'm aware that something may happen that I don't like afterwards, and I accept that, right? And I think that's what we all need to maybe take a healthy dose of right now. You are accountable for your actions. So if you're going to do something, anticipate a reaction from that and deal with it accordingly, right? You fucked up. You fucked up really bad in this scenario. It's unfortunate. You know, could have just been a nice day, go home, all done. Maybe you don't have to deal with this at all or anything like this. But I don't think that's going to be the case here. And if you are that kid, I mean, suck it up, bro. You know, you fucked up bad. That is what it is. Just face the music, man. You got to face the music. What I personally think about this, again, is that it was a mistake. I don't think the boy meant to kill the other boy. However, a boy did die, and somebody did kill him. This is unfortunately a huge mistake that should have consequences, because even a stupid decision in the heat of the moment with this severe of a result needs to be addressed. You know, I feel like we've come to a place in this country where we're unable to decipher our own emotions and personal feelings from what is better for the entirety of the community or groups that we're a part of. That's not to state that people's feelings are not valid. Absolutely, they are. But no one person or their emotions are greater than the collective and what's good for everyone in the group, right? If you are the one who fucks up, have integrity. Face the consequences of your action. Do it with humility and regret, right? Like, I know you probably didn't mean to do that. that you're bad, for sure. Have some humility. Have some be empathetic, right? I mean, fuck, bro. You fucked up. Maybe you get a lesser charge because of that, you know? You killed somebody, though, bro. You got to deal with that. I sure hope that more mistakes like this one don't happen. And let's hope to God that in the future, people are able to rationalize their emotional response from their logical response to things. Let's understand the heavy toll of taking a life and the effects it has on our communities, our families, and ourselves. Like, this young man has made the biggest mistake of his life, and the consequences of his actions are on display for everyone to see. Which puts the ball in our court to a degree, right? We have a choice now. Do we pull our proverbial knives, or do we use our logic-based thinking to see the fault in the decisions that were made here and learn and grow from them? And I sure hope we can choose growth. I hope that this young man is able to come to peace with the decisions that he's made. I feel terribly for both families, and I hope that they're able to use this time for reflection and for healing, and not to propagate people's political agendas and ideologies. If you are a person using this situation to promote your agenda or ideologies, allow me to say wholeheartedly, fuck you. You are the problem with our culture and society. You are what needs to be eradicated from our culture. You are the ones that keep us from evolving as a group. And I hope that you're met with the dissatisfaction and failure in your attempts to divide and spread erratic agendas. I sure hope you just fail every single time, and I hope you feel every single bit of it. I have a real big problem with people taking advantage of vulnerable people. And right now, both of these families are extremely vulnerable. On one side, you have a family who just lost a family member and in a horrible, horrible way. I mean, if you listen to this story at all, I'm not going to get into the details of it, but it's terrible. That's pretty rough. I'd hope you'd have some empathy for that. On the other side, you have this other boy's family who is going to lose their son now, most likely, because he's made a terrible decision. I'm sure they're embarrassed. This reflects their upbringing, how they raised their child. And, you know, I mean, they could be the best parents in the world and stuff like that. And sometimes kids just act crazy. We all go through phases. He's in that period right now where, you know, he's just immature and he's going to go through all this and stuff like that. And you made the huge mistake, bro. Like, that is just something you're going to have to live with for the rest of your days. Like, it's just the facts. You made a bad mistake. You had a seemingly good life. Everything was going well for you. Shouldn't have had that shit with you. Definitely shouldn't have used it. You did, and now you have to deal with the consequences of that. I will speak on the defense lawyer there. This guy, I don't even know if he's still defending them or whatnot, but that guy, that's exactly what I'm talking about right there, right? You're going to get on television and start ranting and raving about how this is race-related and this and that. It's not. You're going to start to talk about politics and this side versus that side, and it has nothing to do with that, bro. I mean, nothing at all. You know what I'm saying? I you know, I don't know these kids from a hole in the wall. I don't know the actual situation. I've never spoken to any of these people and stuff, so I'm just watching just like everybody else, and all I have is my reaction to that. Maybe the agenda is to just stir everything up and get people hot and bothered, create divide. That's what it seems like right now, because that's where we're headed. But when you have anybody getting in front of a camera or on a microphone and you're starting to talk about, like, oh, this is black versus white or fucking Democrat versus Republican and this and that, I mean, where is your empathy? You're taking advantage of these two vulnerable families. You're depicting these kids in manners in which they don't need to be depicted of. Yeah, I went to high school too, bro, and everybody had this little thing going on and stuff like that, you know? Some of the kids were a little bit racist and some of them were not, and I mean on both sides. I chill with everybody. I'm good with everybody. If you're a dick, you're a dick. If you're cool, you're cool. I don't care what you are. That's how I feel. I treat you how you treat me. But acknowledging schools, right? Some kids, they don't have that upbringing. Some kids just view it differently. Some kids don't like people because they look different, this and that. And that happens on both sides. But if you're an adult, a professional adult, who's trying to take advantage of the families or these two kids' situations, I mean, I offer you, maybe you're the biggest problem in the room, bro. Right? It's like, people like that, man, we don't need you. You need to get out of our society and culture. You're not fighting for anybody, bro. You're not trying to do anything for the group. You might be trying to do something for your group or you yourself. But, bro, you're not a hero. You're not speaking proud about a situation, right? You're just trying to divide. You're trying to make your point. And I offer you this. If you're a bottom feeder, bro, this is what you do. You try to find the most vulnerable people. You play off people's emotions. That's what this guy's doing, this defense lawyer. And a million other idiots that have gotten online and start talking about this like it's a race thing. It has nothing to do with race. Both boys had white and black friends. Everybody's all good, bro. It had nothing to do with that. My understanding of it, at least. I don't know. Until something better comes out. Some say the latter. Maybe it was a racist thing. And even if that was the case, I still don't see how us arguing that this situation has to do solely with that is for the betterment of everybody in the world. It's just not. Right? I'm not seeing that. I'm not seeing the race argument here. I'm really not getting that from this entire situation. And me personally, I think we need to get it together as a group, man. I mean, honestly, what are we all doing right now? You're going to take this horrible situation where two young kids, both of their lives have probably just ended in a very, very terrible manner. We're going to try to use these as spearheads for ideologies on race relations and what's fair and not fair in this community. In a community of the United States, I'm talking about all of us, right? I don't know, man. You know, for me, I just think we need to do better as a group. I think we need to stop giving so much attention to these people seeking attention. This is a pretty simple case in my eyes, you know? It's a big mistake. Needs to have a consequence. Hope that kid is able to get his life back together at some point and stuff like this. If he's doing it out of hate, I mean, it's a totally different thing, but I'm not saying that. I think it's just two young kids scrapping, you know? And it just went real south. My problem isn't even with this situation. Yeah, I don't like that situation. I have kids, too. They're going to go to school. That's terrifying, you know? I couldn't imagine what it's like to deal with that situation, you know? I don't want to know what it's like to deal with that situation. I'm not even going to pretend. But man, oh man, if you are one of these guys trying to feed off of this, that's my problem. You guys are my problem. Those are the people I have an issue with. It has nothing to do with what color you are. I know a lot of white people. I know a lot of black people on both sides that do this shit all day, race pedal and all this. I got to be honest, you're all the same to me. Every single one of you guys. If you're trying to pedal that bullshit, I mean, maybe you need to look at yourself a little bit deeper, figure out where your insecurities are, figure out how do you get yourself better, right? Before you start trying to make it public, start to preach to people and stuff. Become a leader. That's not it. That's not what leaders do. If you really want to lead your communities and your families, first thing that should happen is support for the families. How can we help you? What can we do for you? I'm so sorry that this happened. I don't know, man. That's how I feel about this. You know, I wanted these to be a little more lighthearted and all this and stuff, but it is what it is. We live in crazy times. We're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff, so This is what we chose today. And now I have gotten it off my chest. Now we can move on to the next thing. I really hope that we as a group are able to take this situation and use it as a reflection point, right? We need to do better as an entire group of people. Because to have young kids going to school thinking they need to protect themselves with deadly weapons. To have young kids at a school center arguing about which seat is whose and you need to get out of here and you need to do that. That's crazy, you know? I mean, this could have just been a way, way simpler situation. Something that we didn't even need to know these kids. But it's not. And we want the route we want. I hope we, as the older members of our community, and I am an older member now, are able to set a better example for our youth so that these situations don't ever happen again. I mean, honestly, I'm very disappointed by this situation, mostly by the reactions. And I just think we need to do better, man. I think we can do better. I think we want to do better. And I think now's the time. I think we all need to stand up together and just figure out what exactly we need to do as a group so that our kids don't feel like this, like they need to protect themselves at a track meet. Maybe they don't feel so insecure. Maybe they're more proud of themselves, right? They don't have to feel so defensive, even in the presence of difference. Be proud of who you are. Be humble enough to know that you're not the most important person in the room, right? And don't allow these stupid little squabbles to escalate into this huge situation that's being blasted all over media, all over the place, for these vultures to just attack and pick apart. I think we can do better. I think we want to do better. And I really hope that it's time that we do. I really, really do. Like I said, man, I got kids too. And I hope to God I don't ever have to deal with anything like this. I hope you don't have to deal with anything like this. And I just pray for both families, man. I really, my hearts go out to both families. I wish you both peace, man. I feel terrible that kid needs to face these consequences, but I hope you're able to reflect on this shit too, bro. I hope you grow. And with that, that is the end. Peace and love, and I'll see you next time. Peace.